A huge transfer bonus, a beloved hotel program devalues, and more on today's Malinomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Malinomics Squared podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Malinomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like the following. Big, big transfer bonus coming from Built. You are our resident Built expert, sorry to say.
Gosh.
This one actually is pretty compelling, though. What do you think?
We're talking about JAL, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so the rent day option. This March, rent day is going to be a JAL transfer bonus. And I mean, I think the first part we need to discuss, Robert, is did you know that JAL was a one-to-one transfer partner with Built?
No, I thought this was the announcement of it. Do it in a box. But I guess if you want people to know about it, you need to do something crazy like this where, you know, this could really be a path to Japan if you want to get there, have the Built card, know how to navigate the award availability and all that. Maybe JetBlue's or JAL is good for other things. But boy, I don't know. Is this going to be the thing that tempts me into getting into the complex Built ecosystem? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know that you should consider that this is like a long-term possible transfer bonus that's going to come back, but
that's part of the problem,
right?
Could, it's a kind of a one time only.
Yeah, if you could in the next 4 days sign up, get the card, hit the minimum spend, maybe.
But well, the way it's staggered to be the most lucrative, you need to have status. So there's, I guess, such a thing as Built status, and then you get that by having better cards or spending more on it. What kind of status do you have with Built?
I have gold status with Built. It came with my sign up on my Palladium card. Once you hit the sign-up bonus on that card, you get gold status for this year and next year. So gold status is going to give, I think, a 75% transfer bonus on this JAL transfer, which means my meager 70,000 Built points could turn into, oh, I don't know, maybe 100 and, what's that, about 120,000 or so, which it could get you two tickets in business class, right?
Could be more than that even if, you know, JAL scheme is multi-leveled, a better award availability, but there's availability there when there's not partner space a lot of times, it's just at a heightened level. So if you got to the low end of that chart, that would be enough for a round trip from Boston to Tokyo if things are going good on that day, or if you get it, you know, we've talked on the show a lot about, you know, really getting that head start on domestic miles. So if you want to get there, this could be a way to unlock it. But yeah, a lot of ifs coming together there. Are you going to speculatively transfer or wait and see?
I don't think I'm going to do it, Robert. You know, something that we didn't talk about. I don't even think it's, I know, but I don't think it's even in the show notes. Like two things. First of all, I don't think my very first rent day bonus with Built should be the one that I go all in on, right? Like just want to, if this is something that occurs relatively semi-frequently, not JAL specifically, but you know, maybe there'll be one that lines up with a use case that I actually have instead of just being speculative. And number two, speculative and JAL, these are expiring miles as well.
Yeah,
and there's a hard expiration on these miles. This is not a you can kick the can down the curb by transferring more in or anything like that. What is it, a 3-year hard expiration?
Yeah, I bumped into that myself. It's a good point.
Yeah, so I know and I like to look at past wins. And you know, we always say past performance is not indicative of future results, but I have never used a JAL mile. So if I've never used them and I jump in on this, I'm kind of assuming that it's all going to work out and I need a path to get more of them in there. And I mean, I guess Built is that path. So maybe I am talking myself into it, but is there even space? I haven't done the searches. So I think you've got to do those searches before the transfer. You've got a time that you have to do this rent transfer by. And I don't like working under the gun like that because I got to get everybody involved and on board. And I've already done that once with Eva. So I don't know, Robert. I don't know. It seems like a lot of maybes for me, but for the right person, wow. I mean, 100% bonus, 2 JAL miles per dollar on a card that already can earn 3 miles per dollar. That's 6 JAL miles per dollar, potentially. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they really know how to get the crowd going with a unicorn redemption of sorts, right? You string all that stuff together, it could be incredible for the right person. But I almost fear like Built points are, you know, kind of like Alaska miles used to be back in the day. They were so valuable that everybody would hoard them or Starwood points or whatever. You know, it's like, I got to save them for the perfect thing. And then you end up never redeeming them. So this could be one for the right person. Maybe that's you. We'll see. A lot of times we talk about we do one thing and it's different than what we say we'll do. So we'll see what happens when March 1st comes around. You really do have just one day to take advantage of this if you want to take advantage of that. Is that the way rent day works? Even if you don't have a rent due?
My absolute first rent day, Robert. I don't even have rent. Yeah.
I just got here.
You know, it's funny because I think we could safely say that the 2.0 rollout was not smooth. But, you know, it's so easy to forget all the negatives when something like this comes up. You're just like, all's forgiven. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the transferability is important. I have a long future ahead of me with Built, hopefully. And, you know, maybe I'll be able to take one of these rent day bonuses in, but maybe not this one. And we should just keep the show moving, Rob. We've got plenty of news to talk about. This next one here is talk about the right thing for the right person. I think this one's definitely the right thing for you, isn't it? Whoop.
Yeah, I'm a Whoop user. They're a Boston-based company. You go downtown Boston, there's a big Whoop building. So Whoop seems to have a big presence there. And I like the Whoop device. I got them for my whole family. We've got a bonus here. Well, not a bonus. It's an offer. It's not even a benefit of the card. Chase Sapphire Reserve card members should have an offer for $359 back on a $359 purchase at Whoop. And a lesser value for the Sapphire Preferred, 100 back on 149, but that's enough to get you a device, a Whoop device, a health monitoring device, and a year of service. So they kind of bundle hardware and services together. The reports I'm seeing are that if you spend $359, you're going to get this triggered, even if it's not exactly that top-end device that they like to sell. And all kinds of other murky things are occurring with people trying to, resellers trying to buy these and stuff like that. But I guess what I like about it is that it's a pretty juicy thing that's been added to the card that you didn't know about when you signed up for it. So, you know, this is kind of interesting, right? Most of these benefits come around, you know, Lululemon or something like that on the Amex Platinum card that is kind of a recurring, a quarterly thing even. This is a one-time thing. So if you're in the market for one of these, you can gift it to somebody. If you're not in the market for it, it's a lot of value. So interesting to see how people might play this straight or otherwise. But it ends May 12th, 2026. So we'll see what transpires between now and then. Don't want to let this one go. Definitely want to do something with it. I'm in a situation where I could extend my current subscription and get a nicer device. They have a nice path for that. But I, of course, not wanting to play it straight, maybe I want to get two of the mid-tier devices. One thing I don't fundamentally understand is how long does this device tend to last? You know, it's got a battery and it lasts 14 days, but does it kind of peter out after a year or two? Or, you know, on the day after this promo ends, they can come out with version 6.0 of the device. I'm going to feel like I have old technology, right? So never know what's going to transpire next. And maybe similar to you with Built, I haven't been in the ecosystem long enough to know every angle on the thing, but I do like this offer. I know a lot of friends in real life that have picked this up and they're happy with their Whoop device so far. So is it going to penetrate your non-Whoop world? Do you want an Aura Ring, a Garmin watch, an Apple watch, and a Whoop device to quad track your activity?
I'm glad that you brought up the parallel between the Aura Ring, and I think there is just so much copycatting in this space right now. It's like, oh, we have an Aura credit. Oh, man, we don't have any wearable credit. What are we going to do? Let's talk to everyone. Let's see what we can get. And look, you kind of pick your path and you stick with it. My question to you was going to be like, would you like lose all of your metrics and things like that if you went with a new device or a new subscription, or is it something seamless? It seems like you answered that by saying there's a path in place for you to just upgrade and the charge just lands and you'd be okay. But for me, yeah, I'm in Team Garmin, and I don't know about moving from that, but I do like the resale part of it. I think that's possible with this, and it's just one and done. It's almost freeing, Robert. I mean, the shackles of some of these quarterly credits that we have, and I don't necessarily want to do it. I don't care about Lululemon, but all of a sudden, in the middle of September of last year, I became a Lululemon fan. Almost like I had to become one. I had to know all about it immediately, and what works, what doesn't, which stores are outlets, which aren't. Like, sometimes I just want a credit card. I don't want all this baggage. And you know, this is one credit to try to get me into Whoop, and I almost appreciate it more for that. It's like it's an Amex offer. It's a Chase offer. It's not a ongoing forever credit. And I think the Chase Sapphire Reserve, this isn't the discussion we're having, is a card that does not make a lot of sense long-term. And this is a great example why. That's not the discussion we're having, Robert. I think that, you know, the Whoop device is fine. Let's move on.
Okay, how about Hyatt? You love the Hyatt program, right? You stay in a lot of hotels.
We're two in a box here. Like, Robert, I swear, go back in time to our very last free show, our no annual fee show that we last cut, and tell those versions of ourselves. We're going to be talking about Bilt, Whoop, and Hyatt devaluations and be like, no, we're not. I don't think so. Those aren't topics we normally would cover. But here we are. What's going on with Hyatt?
Well, it's kind of the normal year for them to do their annual changes to the award chart. Kind of a slow march down always gets a little bit worse. But, you know, there's inflation in the world. And they need to change their chart to make it reflect what exists in the value of their points. And there was, strangely, a prank or study of a post that was made in Reddit a couple weeks ago. And this is not to be confused with that. Turns out that was purportedly some college kid typing some stuff into AI and then posting it on Reddit to see how quickly the news will spread. I believe this is firm news because it's coming directly from the Hyatt site saying sometime in May that here's the new chart. There's no new categories. 8 is still the tops, and that other thing was talking about categories 9 and 10. So I'm not going to forget that. I think it's semi-real. Well, 9 and 10 will probably come at some point. We're still stuck at 8. But the news here is that there's now 5 levels within each category that a hotel might have, you know, seasonal demand for. And that was introduced a few years back. There was low, medium, and high. It's mostly medium, but sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. Now they have 5 levels of granularity within that. So the long and the short of it is, you know, I'm sure everyone is complaining about the top end and how expensive it has got to stay at the top aspirational end of the chart. Indeed, you know, category 8 now can go for as much as $75,000 a night if you're in the top season of demand, or even up to 110,000 points per night for a category 8 premium suite. On the bright side, the low end, you can go down as low as 3,000 theoretically if you found the most downtrodden off-season category 1 Hyatt in the portfolio. And there can be reasons why you want to do that. Maybe talk about that and some corporate status match opportunities on the paid show. But that's the big news, and I'm sure people are going to complain about that. I'll continue to be happy with the Hyatt program. I'll continue to stay there as long as I'm getting solid value most of the time and occasional great value. I'd say solid value is kind of around 2 cents a piece plus, maybe, you know, 3 cents a piece plus is where I'm really happy with the program. And we'll see. I think I can still attain that. You never know when you bump into something, you stay in a hotel and you're like, oh, it's off peak when I'm here? Oh, okay. So we'll see how they actually play that out. One nice thing, though, kind of buried in here is, as a separate thing, is they're now going to allow digital point sharing. And if you've ever transferred points between people before and you had to get out the old fax machine, you know, they have this goofy benefit for true globalists where you know, when you stay 60 nights there, you get a My Hyatt concierge. The only useful thing that My Hyatt concierge ever did for me was to be able to process the transfer form because they were so prone to ignoring them when they got emailed in. So they're threatening to make that digital transfer ability come soon. I don't know what restrictions are going to be on it or how exactly that is going to work, but hopefully that just automates what was previously difficult, because it's nice to be able to move Hyatt points around it. I think they're just probably trying to stop people who are selling stays and such like that from doing things. But they've got the infrastructure now where you can gift suite upgrade awards and things like that to people, and this should be an easy follow-on from that, knock wood. So quite a bit of changes there. I haven't got a chance to look at what is going on with the new charts, but I guess we won't really be able to see what happens seasonally until that takes flight, because you can't really see when a hotel is going to carve things up until that's actually there. So something to watch here. Don't think that's going to change how often or not you stay at Hyatt's, but that's the direction it's headed. They still have a chart. That's the good news.
When you say you mean me specifically or in general?
You mostly. I was thinking of you, my friend.
Robert, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Where does that 2 cents per point value come from in your mind?
You know, it's just this irrational thing I have in my head where like 1.5 cents is, you know, kind of where Chase Sapphire gets a redemption for things on travel back in the day. 1.5 still around for the most part. With Amex Business Platinum, you get a 35% rebate on airfare. So that's like 1.5 cents a piece. And I've always thought of Hyatt as being a great program because you get kind of more than that on an everyday basis. And to me, that's kind of around 2 cents a piece. 1.5 would be a floor. But I think people like the Hyatt program because you get up to those levels pretty easily, that you get everyday good value and you get occasional great value. So kind of arbitrary coming out of my head. Do you think that's reasonable? And do those kind of reference points make sense to you? Do you compare things in similar ways?
They do, but I think it's interesting that, you know, that 1.5 cent per point redemption from Chase is, I would say, sputtering out. You know, you've got a pool of them and that's about it. And it'll be interesting to see longer term kind of what the trade-off value in your mind is between an ultimate reward point and a Hyatt point, because I do think that's where most of your Hyatt points come from, correct? Transfer from ultimate rewards?
Yeah, that is where they're coming from, and that is where that notion gets tied to. So with, you know, 5X earning on Inc. and then the ability to redeem effectively that with, it's been a really... You know, we have a transfer bonus coming up here in a second from Chase that probably makes absolutely no sense to do, even if they put a really big bonus on it. This, you know, Chase and Hyatt's tie here has been very real for a long time and been a great servant for my aspirational hotel stays and otherwise. So yeah, when they first announced Point Boost, I got really excited about it because I said, oh, you know, I'm going to have value like I have in the Hyatt program across a lot of other hotel chains. I'll be liberated. I can go stay at a Pendry. I can go stay at an Aman or whatever is in the portfolio.
Rosewood, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that hasn't really played out the way I hoped it would. You know, that points boost is variable. It's not always two. It's never more than two. I just did a stay at the Park Hyatt Vienna and got far more than 2 cents a piece of value, you know, and then you layer on the benefits of Globalist. And even with the top end of the points boost, it doesn't get as good as it is typically or on a good day with Hyatt. So that's what I'm always looking to achieve. Do something better than 1.5, hopefully something better than 2. And on average, I think Hyatt does that.
Now, again, there's about 10 jumping off points right now that I'm thinking about. One is, you know, if you have a bucket of ultimate rewards that are grandfathered in for 1.5 cents and you transfer those to Hyatt, those transfer first. Are you doing anything to try to keep those points from transferring out? Are you not, for example, pooling those points? Or do you think that that's not necessarily something to worry about long term?
No, it is confusing, and I don't even know exactly how it works. I used to very carefully put everything into my Sapphire Reserve, so I had that value there. Yeah. And now I'm sitting there wondering, like, what is there a better way to transfer them out? You know, if I have any cash, can I transfer directly from that instead of encumbering the precious Sapphire Reserve points? I think I just need to use them at some point and get on with my life because it's not going to last forever. But yeah, it is something to be considerate of. And you know, maybe they're all just going to wind up going to Hyatt. That could be a very simple exit path, right?
Well, I mean, but you know, I think, look, relatively speaking, I don't think you're going to spend your way down. I think your earning rate is probably much higher than the amount of time you spend in Hyatts every year. Wouldn't you agree?
Probably. Yeah. Maybe I should start staying in more hotels.
Just live in a hotel. I love it, Robert. Yeah. Speaking of living in hotels, let's talk about this next one. You teased it a little. Chase is adding, and let's talk about timing here, Wyndham as a one-to-one transfer partner. Could they have timed this any worse? What would you say?
Well, it's peculiar, right? And I was wondering... And really, I put it in here for you because you're our resident big fan of Vacasa.
I appreciate. I know you did. I looked at the notes and I was like, "Yep, you did put it in here for me." Tell me why.
Well, you used to, you know, I think the best way to generate Wyndham points was with that Barclays business card that earned what 8x on fuel or something like that. And so,
yeah.
I was always thinking, like, if there really was that much value in the Vacasa program, that I could get there by way of a city transfer. Maybe that would be a good way to do it. City has a 25% bonus on top of that. But I'm wondering whether Wyndham points have any allure at all anymore with the demise of Vacasa. Am I barking up a wrong tree there? Is there any utility there whatsoever?
You know, look, I've got 650,000 left. Wyndham. I've been kicking the tires on it, Robert. And there are hotels. Like, I was way too hard on Wyndham, I think, in saying like, oh, it's just all about, you know, vacation rentals. They have hotels. They also own...
Breaking.
I know, breaking, right? Yeah, Wyndham Hotels. They also own quite a few timeshare properties that they make available for booking with points as well. Now, those are relatively fixed costs. You know, there are quite a few hotels, Robert, that I've found that are Wyndham hotels that I just didn't know, you know, like, and they're not horrible hotels. You know, we're talking hotels that are in the $300 or $400 a night range in major cities. And then even in some smaller cities, you've got options. And I think that the award chart, it's not when, remember like, oh gosh, what was it? 7 or 8 years ago, they were like, every room at every hotel is going to be the same price. And then they were like, that's a dumb idea. We're going to get rid of that. But relatively speaking.
Hyatt is the complete opposite of that. We've got a matrix of 8x5.
8x5 matrix. So good. Oh man, that's hilarious. There's like two. I've seen 15,000 per night and I've seen 30,000 per night.
Two.
You know, like two. So it's relatively easy. It's like, do you want to stay at a Wyndham? Yes. Is the price of the Wyndham more than $300? Yes. Is the Wyndham available for 30,000 or 15,000 points? Yes. Then you would transfer. So I think it's relatively simple. I do think that if you're one of the people that had that Wyndham earner card earning that 8% or 8X, you actually also have a benefit of that card. You get a 10% discount on some of these bookings. Look, we're on the fringes here, Robert. I don't think you're going to, again, drain a million ultimate reward points with Wyndham bookings, 15,000 points per night. But, you know, if you're staying somewhere and you need a couple nights, or, you know, one of the use cases that I've been using in general for hotels is like, I got a really early flight from the airport and I just don't want to wake up at my house and be doing dishes and trying to get the kids out the door really quick at like 5 or 6 in the morning. And I'm just staying at a hotel near the airport. I don't care where I'm staying. So there are situations where I think this works. It's not aspirational travel. It's not Park Hyatt Vienna. But, you know, outside of the United States as well, Wyndham has a different set of properties. And never say never. That's my point. Isn't that true of Wyndham? Wyndham, that should be their like slogan. Never say never.
Well, you never know what they could do with a heightened transfer bonus, you know, maybe on the order of, you know, maybe Built inspired them. They could do 100%, 125% transfer bonus. Good to have the connection there.
That's a good point.
But I can't help but think that it's going to be like IHG, where it just hardly ever makes sense to do that transfer when you've got better options almost every day of the week. So, all right, you ready to move on to this next one? This one is Bank of America. Who wants to take this one? Who likes this one less?
Well, there's been changes coming to the preferred rewards. So we've got a direct link here to the press release. I do think Dr. Credit handled it as well on a post. I don't know if we have a link to that or not. But like the too long, don't read version is that, you know, the top end of this used to be $100,000 somewhere on deposit, either in assets or in cash, would get you the top end platinum honors. And that's moving up to a million. So that's a 10X jump, Robert. And I think people are a little bit shocked at that jump, right? Like the 75% uplift is now dependent on that $1 million in deposits. And 30,000 to 100,000 just gets you 25% uplift. So they've really cut back on this. You know, the same 100,000 is just a 50% uplift. I think everything has changed in the world so much. Is this still compelling? Was this still compelling? Let's start there, Robert. For you, did you have platinum honors? Was it changing things? Was 2.625 just, you know, a game changer? Or was it just noise in a world of other high earned cards?
Ah, boy, that's great to think about whether this credit card uplift is so great and how is it going to feel to lose it. There does seem to be a soft landing. You know, it's going to start in May of 2026, the new scheme, but they're going to slow roll it. You know, it'll be kind of a slow crawl to the death. But yeah, that 2.625 card, whether it's the elite card that we're such big fans of or the travel rewards when you have this, was pretty good, but it wasn't so great that you could, for me, like really make it like this undisputable great card. You know, you get some of that, you don't get a lot of uplift on it, right? It's mostly just cash back. If you have the elite card, you get a 20%, you know, a 1.25 uplift, a 20% rebate, a discount when you book airfare through them, but that's a hassle to do. So it's good, but I'd say it's not incredible. You know, it used to be a little bit more compelling when there's creative ways to, you know, earn a little bit when you're paying them as well, but that seems to have mostly gone away. So yeah, I guess I think of, yes, things have gotten more expensive. You know, I was thinking kind of $1,000 is the new $400 as it relates to hotels. And even then you're kind of disappointed and amazed how mediocre a hotel can be for $1,000. Yeah, everything is up.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's up from 100K to a million. I mean, that's a big jump, man. Like, yeah, like you say, 10X, you put it that way.
You know, can I interest you in a like a subscription credit of $15 a month? Does that kick over for you? Anything?
Debit card. I mean, it's just a bizarre, very low level perk that's unclear what's going to work. And it's like, really, you've got $1 million with them and you're going to entice me with, you're going to want me to find my debit card? Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, so obscure, so weird. Talk about a bank that's lacking real focus. But again, a huge bank that is extremely successful, which lets you know, probably 95% of the stuff we talk about is not affecting average Americans at all. Because here's what I think they should have done. It's something that you came up with a couple weeks ago on our paid show. Transferable points. Like, imagine if they said, if you have $1 million with us, you can transfer points to Air France, any of the Virgins that we have, Alaska. You'd be in on that, I feel like. You'd have people who are like irrationally moving $1 million over to be able to transfer these 2.625 points over to an airline of choice. But it's just kind of like not for us, I feel like. But for, again, like, man, isn't that the theme of this show? Not for us, but for someone probably.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, they should flex that. They're lagging in that. I mean, even Wells Fargo has transferability at this point. And it's just from, not even from airlines that they have a relationship with. They just have transferability all of a sudden. So a lot of the most obvious partners, you know, JetBlue is always up for selling a mile to somebody because customers don't seem to buy them because they're smarter than the banks are. But one weird thing on this, hiding out at that $1 million level, and it's been there for a while. At this premier tier, there's this bundle of exclusive luxury offers. And when they have things at this level, you don't know if they're being coy by not telling you what they are, or they're trying to protect the integrity of some of their partners. And I'm wondering if there might be some good stuff up there. There's this Eden Residence Club that I've been doing some tire kicking on. Don't search for that at work in the wrong connection. You want to be careful about how you do that search. I've heard some things. But there's might be some good stuff up at $1 million. And it's kind of crazy how poorly they market some of these things, but I think there could be some value up there. So who knows? I mean, one thing to mention here is you can have an IRA qualify for this. So you could roll over a 401k into an IRA. You don't need $1 million in cash sitting there. That would be foolish. So if you're just going to have assets sleeping around somewhere and not really doing anything with them, this could be a path that might be more realizable than you would think. So we have people at that tier in the community, and we'll see what's going on at that top tier if we can, and talk about it on the paid show in the future. But it's all just kind of rolling out at this point. We'll have more information as this becomes real in May 2026. And who knows, maybe that uplift will kick around for a while. Maybe I'll appreciate it a little bit more before it disappears. But I guess more to come on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got to end the show here. But before we do, Robert, you got a really quick update for our Boston fans of Hawaii, yes?
I'm glad to see this. I requested this, a direct flight coming back to Honolulu from Boston, last served by both Delta and Hawaiian, and they bashed each other over the head enough and said, well, there's just not the demand for it, and they both fled the market. And then now Delta is coming back seasonally in winter. Yeah, they would think maybe there's demand for one. Yeah, there is. So they're coming back, not every day of the week, but in winter. What winter means, we'll see. I see it on the calendar out there. It's about $2,000 per person one way in business class. I think when it was there before, it was one of the longest domestic. I think it was the longest domestic flight. I took it there and back on Hawaiian before they abandoned it. And I miss it. I think I would prefer Hawaiian to do it. I like that spirit of aloha when it exists. But I also like Delta's reliability and resilience a little bit more than Hawaiian's. Hawaiian failed to fly the plane there. And it took them 2 days later to get me out. So I'm better off with Delta and the reliability that can save the Hawaiian drinks and the macadamia nuts for another time. Or maybe Delta does more to make it a Hawaiian spirit than I realize. But yeah, good to see this coming back. And I wish it would go for more of the season. And I think if this is a success, maybe they will do it for more of the season. But man, Delta loves to say they're going to do something, and then when it doesn't work, they pull the plug on it quickly. But maybe on the flip side, they bring it back just as quickly. So we'll see how that goes. And looking forward to that. Maybe that sticks around till February, March. It might be useful. We'll see.
Well, I guess then you'd start looking at like partner availability, wouldn't you?
Well, who's going to release partner? When was the last time you saw Delta release partner availability?
That's a joke, Robert. What a great joke.
Book it with Vietnam?
Yeah, right? Yeah. You got to touch Brazil first, and then you can get on it. Yeah.
Oh, Mexico. Isn't that the thing?
That's right. Well, that's a show, Robert. That's a quick no annual fee show.
You ready to close it out?
Let's go.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/milonomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about topics like these.
As always, you can catch us on social media. I'm @milonomics, and Robert is @Robert Dwyer. Until then, we'll see you on the site.